Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Life is a journey, and it's designed to be a journey of faith. Perhaps you feel like you've lost your way. Well, God is still in control in your life, and next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the great journeys of faith of Scripture. Stay with us. Life truly is a journey of faith, and often we come to a wall that requires us to act in faith, but we don't know what's on the other side of the decision. And God is waiting to bless and reward us. He's waiting for us to take that leap of faith. And life is really made up of all of these journeys of faith. God wants us to continually be exercising trust in Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can find out more about recent resources, including the recent broadcasts for this series and others. Also, Dr. Chappell's newest two books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. Both of these books will help you to wake up tomorrow and serve God for the right reasons in a way that will help you answer with a clear conscience that you did your best for God's glory. Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You'll find both of these and much, much more at dailyintheword.org. Today we study Abraham's faith journey up Mount Moriah, Genesis chapter 22. Here's Paul Chappell.
You know, every day we express faith in different ways, but we express faith throughout the course of a given day. And it always amazes me that we can express faith in very complex issues and in difficult circumstances that we think we understand, but when it comes to trusting God with big issues, sometimes we struggle with that. For example, we go to the doctor, he investigates and evaluates and he checks us all out and he says, here's my diagnosis of your problem. I want you to go to the pharmacy. I want you to get this medicine and this medicine. I want you to take the medicine according to my directions. And whatever the doctor says, we take that advice that he gives, we take that prescription, we go to the pharmacy, we start taking pills. We really don't know a lot about the doctor, we don't know a lot about the pills, but we have faith in the principle and the concept and the medical institution, and just by faith we do what the doctor says. How many of you have done that in the last, say, 6 months? Let me just get an idea, all right? You don't know the doctor that well. You don't know a lot about the medicine. You just put your faith in his word. How many of you understand that when we get on an airplane, we're putting our faith in an airline, in a pilot? We're just putting our faith in the whole deal. This past week, when we began to go down to Costa Rica with the young people, we went to an airline. I was told it was United Airlines. I always feel comfortable flying something that sounds a little more American when I'm going foreign like that. And I got to the place, and it wasn't United Airlines at all. It was an airline called Taka Airlines. And Taka, I'm sure, is good airlines. I just never flown it before, didn't know a lot about it. And I said, all right, well, we're on Taka Airlines. And then we got to the Taka desk, and they said, well, you're not going to fly Taka, you're going to fly Laksa. Now, I had heard of Taka, I think, once, but I had never heard of Laksa. And they told me the story. They had merged together, and I thought, well, That's okay. I don't know if they both had problems. That's why they merged or what the situation was. But I was just a little nervous about flying on an airline I had never heard of. So I went over to the counter to get on the Lhasa Airlines. And I called Brother Jeremy Whitman, who made the reservations for me. And I said, Brother Whitman, what is this? Like Lhasa luck, Pastor? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Or, you know, what's the deal here, you know? And we got onto the airplane, and we flew, and we put our faith in Lhasa Airlines. We put our faith in everybody who works there and in the pilots. And it's just amazing how we'll put our faith in the things of this world, but sometimes we don't put our faith in the creator of the world. The kids had a busy plan for the trip down there in Costa Rica, and on Tuesday, a part of the plan was to go to the rainforest and to get onto the zip line and ride down a zip line through the rainforest. I want to tell you a little bit about that. We got to the mountain. We rode the tractor going up the hill. As we rode up the hill, everyone was having fun and laughing. They had strapped us into some kind of mountain-type gear, and then you had to take a strap and hook yourself to this metal cord. All of that sounded okay. My wife had made an early-on decision she would not have part in it. We got there, and sure enough, there's a cord of steel wrapped around a big tree at one end, and about a quarter of a mile down, it's wrapped around another tree, and I just began to have apprehension about it. I went up to the fellow that was kind of the guide of it, and I began to ask questions. I wanted to know, do they inspect this like OSHA? You know, I'm not really a fan of OSHA unless I'm about ready to jump on a wire and go down through the rainforest. And I was trying to ask him, do you inspect this? He said, no English, no English. I tried inspectorio, inspecto. I tried everything I knew, and I was getting nowhere. And finally, I had the missionary come over, and he asked them, and they said, oh, yes. And they said, the tourism industry inspects that. I didn't know what to think about that, but at least they did inspect it. That's when they came over to me, and they began to say some things to the missionary in Spanish about my size. I understood some of the words. They weren't really flattering words. They said, he needs an extra harness and a safety hook. I began to think, you know, I don't think any attorney in their right mind would advise me to ride on this ride. They gave me the extra harness. They gave me the safety hook. And that's when I noticed the missionary looked to be about 20, 30 pounds heavier than me. And we have supported him for a long time. He's a good friend. I said, Brother Bordell, I just think since we're all new at this, you should go first. So he hooked up and he went. I mean, it sagged quite a bit when he went down. 5 to 10 stories above the ground we were, and the river raging below, and he went down, and all the kids thought it would be fun if Pastor went second. And so I jumped on, and there I was in Central America, trusting a zip line that was attached to a tree on either end, hoping to get me safely to the other side. Now, why is it in life we're willing to trust man-made devices, and we struggle in trusting God? And today I want to speak to you about a man named Abraham, who trusted God in a way that I don't think any of us can fully understand, but I think all of us can learn from his challenge to us today. Abraham was a man of great faith. We learn about this throughout the scriptures. I want you to notice in your notes, and you may want to have your hand open to Hebrews 11 through this message. Notice in Hebrews 11 and verse number 8, what the Bible says about Abraham's faith. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now as we read in the book of Genesis, we find God calling Abraham out. God calls him out of a place called the Ur of the Chaldee. We know that to be modern-day Iraq. God called him over towards an area we know to be modern-day Israel. God called Abraham out. The Bible says in verse 8 specifically, the word called. It means to invite. And the Bible says specifically in verse 8, the word obey. That word means to submit. Abraham submitted to the calling of God. I want you to know, friend, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is calling you out. God is calling you unto Himself. And when you receive Christ as Savior, you are putting your total faith in Him to be your Savior, the forgiver of your sins. Abraham believed God when he did not know where, when he did not know how, when he did not know when, and when he did not know why. It was faith in God's word that made Abraham leave his home, live as a pilgrim, and follow God wherever he went. Abraham trusted in the word of God. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his hopes and his dreams and his plans in order to follow his God. I want you to notice in the first place this morning then, the request from the Lord. Notice the request that the Lord gave to Abraham or made to Abraham. The Bible says in verse number 1, he did tempt Abraham. And in verse 2 it says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now we notice in the first place, this was a call to testing. This was a call to testing. The Bible says God did tempt Abraham. God did test Abraham. We learn from this the nature of spiritual trials, the nature of spiritual testing, that through our lifetime, God will allow experiences to draw us closer to Him. This would be an evaluation of his soul's commitment. This would be an opportunity to evaluate the depth of his faith in God. You see, true faith will go into operation when there are no answers. When we do not understand the outcome, we are simply willing to trust God. And God will bring us many times into deep waters, not to drown us, but to cleanse us and to prepare us for the greater opportunities ahead. I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible says, but he will with the temptation also make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Please understand, if you're under a heavy load today, if you're going through a testing time today, that God is allowing this for your betterment, and that God will make a way of escape, and that God will honor his word. It was a call to testing. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Abraham's faith was being tested by the fiery trials of this test, that he might come forth as gold. I thank God for the testimony this morning of Dr. Lee Robertson, a 97-year-old man who preached the gospel until the last final days of his life, who never wavered in his faith, who stayed faithful to God, faithful to his wife, and faithful to his calling 97 years long through the testings. In a letter he wrote me, I read this morning, he said, there have been difficulties, but there have been so many more blessings. Oh, I think about the testings of his faith. I think about the story of Dr. Robertson having a baby girl whose name was Joy. Joy was born, and just a few hours after her birth, her life was taken from her. God called the baby home. It was a great moment of testing in the life of Dr. Robertson. Why, he had been faithful to God. He had been preaching God's word faithfully. And here this trial came. And it was from that trial that God put into his heart an idea to go outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, to buy a piece of property and to establish a Christian camp called Camp Joy. That camp for more than 30 years has been a place for 3,000 teenagers every summer to attend, a place where they could have fun and hear the stories of Jesus Christ and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and do it all free of charge. And since that time of Joy's death, thousands upon thousands of young people have accepted Jesus Christ because of one man who passed the test, because of one man who kept the faith during the difficult time. Abraham was going to have his faith tested. But not only is it a call to testing this morning, but we are also going to see it is a call to sacrifice. It is a call to sacrifice. You see, the fact of the matter is that Christianity and living for Jesus is not a cheap affair. It's not something that we ought to look at as just a simple thing. But sometimes there's a cost attached to following God. The Bible says, and Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In verse 2, the Bible says of Genesis 22, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Here is one of the greatest challenges of faith I have ever read of in my entire life. I mean, you read through Genesis, you read the creation account, you read the flood account, you read these marvelous stories, and there are stories of wonder, there are stories of amazement. But you come to Genesis 22 and you hear God telling Abraham to offer up his own son, and you must stop and you must say, what a tremendous request. For he was being offered as the promised seed. You see, Isaac was the promised seed. God had promised Abraham that from you I am going to bless all nations. From you I am going to bring in my own people, the children of Israel, the people after mine own eye. Genesis 15 and verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. We refer to this passage as the Abrahamic covenant. God had promised Abraham that from this son there would be thousands and millions of people who would bring into being a nation. And this was the promised seed that was being offered. This was the promised son that was being offered. God had miraculously provided a son to Abraham. Many of you know the story. Sarah was well beyond the age of childbearing. And it was impossible, humanly speaking, for Isaac to be born in the first place. And now God was requesting that Isaac be offered on Mount Moriah. The Bible says back there in Hebrews 11 and verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah was up in years. Someone said, you know you're getting older when in the morning you hear snap, crackle, and pop, and it's not your cereal. And Sarah, no doubt, in her upper years, the Bible says that she laughed. She couldn't believe what God said. She could not comprehend having a baby. And yet, with God, all things are possible. And Sarah received strength from the Lord. And Sarah brought Isaac into the world. And now God is telling Abraham, bring Isaac up to Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is seen on the map just to the west of the Dead Sea. It would become a holy place. It would become a place that by the very mention of it, the sacrifice of Abraham, the willingness of Abraham, and the simple faith of Isaac would be remembered for thousands of years. The request of the Lord. It was a request that brought a time of testing into Abraham's life. But notice secondly this morning, the response of obedience. The response of obedience. I am humbled by Abraham's response. And I want you to see it in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I want you to notice that Abraham's response was immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Abraham didn't cry or moan or complain or try to manipulate. Abraham simply obeyed God. How many of you know that delayed obedience is disobedience? Let's say that together. Delayed obedience is, you tell your son, son, empty the trash. You come back 20 minutes later, he's in his room playing a game of some kind, and you say, son, has the trash been emptied? He says, no. He says, I was going to do that later. You had not discussed a later. You had not negotiated a later. You had not agreed upon a later. You had told him to take out the trash. 20 minutes later, the trash has not been taken out. Guess what? He has been a disobedient son. He's delayed his obedience, which is disobedience. But Abraham did not delay his obedience. Abraham immediately obeyed God. You see, the Bible says in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And Abraham trusted God and immediately did what God had told him to do. God had promised that there would be a blessing upon his life through Isaac's seed. Abraham, no doubt, was brokenhearted. No doubt this was a challenge beyond comprehension, but his faith in the initial promises of God never wavered, and so he did exactly what God had called him to do. The Bible speaks of his trust in verse 5. It says, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Notice the next phrase, and come again to you. Abraham had full confidence that no matter what it would take, God was going to provide a seed for his people, and God was going to somehow bring this Isaac's life, even if it meant back from the dead, he was going to come back down off of that mountain with Isaac, his son. Notice in Hebrews 11:17, Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Notice verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so we see Abraham taking Isaac up the mount, willing to sacrifice him. Even if that meant sacrificing his life, Abraham believed somehow he would be resurrected from the dead. And so he leaves his servants and supplies at the base of the hill. And he goes up to honor and worship his God. And I want you to notice what Isaac is doing. The Bible tells us in verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac. In verse 6, we see a picture of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we refer to this as typology, or a type in the Old Testament, a picture of something in the New Testament. When we see Isaac walking up the hill, going up to Mount Moriah, bearing the wood, we see a picture here of Jesus Christ going up Golgotha, bearing the cross of Calvary. Isaac is a picture of Jesus willingly going to the cross. For John 19:17 says, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Isaac went up the hill in total innocence. The Bible says in verse 7, he says to his father, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? With complete innocence, Isaac went up the hill. And I say to you that with complete innocence and without sin, Jesus Christ went up the hill of Calvary to shed his blood so that we might have our sins forgiven. With immediate obedience, Abraham did what God had called him to do. May we be a people who obey every impulse of God. When God tells us to forgive, may we immediately forgive. When God tells us to witness, may we immediately witness. When God challenges us in the Christian life, in any realm, may we learn from Abraham to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Notice not only immediate obedience, but notice secondly, faithful obedience. Faithful obedience. The Bible says in verse number 8 concerning Abraham's faith, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. He said, Isaac, God is going to honor his word. God is going to do exactly what he said he would. Oh, the life that follows God is to be a life of faith. I think of Adoniram Judson, the first Baptist missionary ever to go to the country of Burma. Adoniram Judson, upon arrival at Burma, began witnessing. He began learning the language. He did all that he could, but to no avail. In fact, for 7 years, Adoniram Judson preached in Burma without one convert. By many standards, he was not a success. In fact, during that 7-year period, he was placed in jail. While he was in jail, his wife was shipped back to America. There alone in Burma, in a Burmese prison with 35 pounds of weight around his ankles and his hands, with a common criminal next to him, he heard the question from the criminal. The criminal looked at Judson and said, what about the prospect of converting the heathen now? Judson looked the man back in the eyes and said, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. And by the time Judson left Burma, there were over 10,000 people who had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and dozens of churches sprawling throughout the country. Why? Because of a man who passed his test. Because of a man who kept the faith. Because of a man who believed that God said his word would be honored and he would not quit until the word of God was honored. Oh, we thank God. You see, a faith that is not worth testing, is not worth trusting. And I know many of you have burdens today, but there is a God in heaven who will sustain you if you will keep your trust in him. Hebrews 11:1 says it this way, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, and Dr. Paul Chappell has been teaching and preaching through a series entitled Journeys for the Faith. We're studying the great journeys of faith throughout Scripture and understanding how our lives are really journeys of faith. You can find out more about this series, listen to recent broadcasts, or subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and devotional when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.